Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
And then we say to ourselves, well, that formula doesn't work because I got to be chaotic to pull it off. That formula doesn't work because I need to be Steve Larsson's level of pace. That formula doesn't work because I need to be able to have enough time, 9 to 5 every day, just to work on that stuff. Or I need to work evening. That's not true at all. The point is that you go learn from someone who's been there, done that, further down the road than you are. And then what you do is ask yourself how you can make it work for you, how you can go apply it.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larsson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on, Sales Funnel Radio? Lately, I've been thinking through my podcast episodes a little bit deeper and doing them as YouTube videos. So I've been taking the audio and putting them on here, but I still like to every once in a while to drop an episode out just straight to you guys. So this is something I want to drop on. This has been on my mind for a while, and it's a sad reality of the thing that I see most frequently in any kind of new skill that's being learned. this seems like it's a little bit vague. Let me tell you what I mean. Someone shows up in my sphere and they're saying, Steve, I'll do whatever you say. I'm going to be your next success story. I want to be the next poster child of Steve Larsson's products and programs. And I'm like, cool. You're like the 1,000th person to say that. I hope that that's true. But here's what tends to be the pattern. Half of people, they're right. And they go off and they do it. And they accept the challenges as they come in and they just do it. The other half of people, though, I think what happens is they become really good students. Like, both groups tend to go through the material. Both groups tend to, like, learn the formulas. But the second group, the one that ends up not really making it usually, one of the narratives, this is not the only narrative, but one of the narratives that pops up is this whole notion of, I can only imagine that it goes something like this. Wow, this is life-changing information, and holy crap, and I can totally see how all the pieces fit together now. And I learned about funnels, but didn't know how it fit with my offer, and didn't know how to fit with my message. Had no idea when to get traffic, how to get traffic. Should I get organic? Should I get ads? Like, all the crap, right? All the things that you go through whenever you're thinking through. And there's a lot of skill sets, and they all coincide, but they are not the same thing. They do not all matter at the same time either. They matter all eventually, but the timing of it is what matters, right? And kind of like the narrative that starts is, again, I can only imagine that it goes something to the effect of, look at all the things that Steve Larsson has helped me see, but look at his schedule. Look how busy. Look at all the things happening. And they start to compare themselves with how I apply them rather than figuring out ways it applies to themselves. Meaning this, I got to get up at this time each day and work like crazy and go do this. You know what? This seemed like it would really work. And obviously it has for Steve and several others, but I'm not going to go do it simply because I don't want to have to do the things that Steve does every day applying it. I hope that makes sense what I'm saying right here. What they start to do is they start to say, I've had a lot of like close friends who keep asking me how to change parts of their financial life. And they're like, Steve, like, how did you get so far into these things? And how did you get this success? And so I'll tell them. But the reason they won't go do anything about it after they've gone through the education is a lot of times what they'll do is they will say, well, I don't want to have to go trade funnels for plane tickets in order to go to Funnel Hacking Live. You know what I mean? Or they'll say, I don't want to have to go work for free for several projects for someone big so I can have the case study and get education under someone else's wing on all the finer points of the game. Or they'll say things like, I don't want to go build a studio. And since I don't want to build a studio, therefore these formulas don't work. Does that make sense what I'm trying to convey here? I'm trying to convey it in a way that they stop in their tracks on any kind of progress because they say, look, I don't want to, they complain about something in my schedule, or they'll complain about the fact that, you know what, I like to stay a little bit busy. There's too busy. I don't like to be too busy. But there is a certain amount of like, hey, I want things to be going on. Busy is a good thing for me. And so because of those things, they will discredit the entire formula, right? It's kind of like when, like in the One Funnel Away Challenge, or any of the other four challenges that I've run and do, they're like, I totally can do this, but because I don't know, because I don't want to be answering a voice message on a Saturday, therefore the whole formula is crap. And they throw the whole thing out. So the baby out with the bathwater. They're like, look, I'm therefore not fit for this, and therefore not going to go after it. And that mentality will never succeed, ever. You know what I mean? Just, they're not going to. There's really no such thing as normal. You know, as I look back on my, I've been building funnels for 8 years now with ClickFunnels. It's about to be 9 years old. I jumped in about a year after it was released. My first build to ClickFunnels was July of 2015. It's fun to go back and look at that. July 2015, had no idea the road I was about to step into, although I had an idea of it. As I look back at all the things that it's taken me to kind of get where I have and am now, there's like the normal things that just cause success, you know, working hard. That doesn't mean don't take breaks, right? But working hard, there's being strategic, creating relationships, things like that. However, there's a lot of stuff that's not normal. And when you look at every person's journey, whoever makes it on like a big stage, you know, one of my stages or Funnel Hacking Live or things like that, like every single one of them has done things that is rare, unique, and that they really were the only person to go and do. And so there is a really powerful accelerant that comes with modeling somebody, but there's also one of the biggest handicaps and crutches you will ever run into when you only model and follow someone to the T. You know what I mean? Like, there's a point where you should not follow me. There's a point where you should not follow Russell. There's a point where you should not follow anyone but the ideas that are being inspired in your mind as you learn these formulas. And those are the ideas that set you apart. Those are the ideas that make you go, you know what? No one's ever done this before. I think I should trade funnels for plane tickets. You know what I'm saying? To truly go try and get like, if you want to try and get like big, like you're going to do stuff that no one's done before and that is crazy to everybody else until it's not. And a lot of times though, like the sad reality is that someone will look at my formulas and say, I have to go do all that crazy stuff in order to make these formulas work. And I'm like, no, you could just like build one funnel and go make content. Game over. Like, keep the game simple. Don't marry the chaos, right? And following the formulas doesn't mean chaos. Simplicity always wins in the long run. It just always does. And the way you run your business, and the way you interact with your teams, and the way that you run your projects, and the way fulfillment happens, and the way you do any kind of promotion, simplicity prevails because it's not strewn together with duct tape. There's a lot of teams. I've worked with a lot of teams, a lot of really big teams, and my time is split where really I only spend 3 days a week on my own business and 2 days a week are on another person's business. Or the way it really works is I really only on my personal individual business is only about 2 days a week. And then 2 days a week is on someone else's. And then 1 day a week is on the businesses I'm investing in. The only reason I can do that is because I have simple, 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 simple processes. I do not deviate from them. I don't care when someone makes fun of me for using them. There's people who have complained. I've had a lot of people complain like, hey, your processes, Steven, they make your funnel building slow. And that's not true. What it does is it makes it sure. I build way slower. I encourage slow funnel building. Okay. I encourage slow business building. I'm not saying launch slow, launch quick. But what I'm talking about is don't be so married to chaos that you look past the point of the formula. Or don't be so married to chaos in an entrepreneur's lifestyle that you associate it with the formula that they teach. And then we say to ourselves, well, that formula doesn't work because I got to be chaotic to pull it off. Bullcrap. That formula doesn't work because I need to be Steve Larson's level of pace. That formula doesn't work because I need to be able to have enough time 9 to 5 every day just to work on that stuff. Or I need to work evening. That's not true at all. The point is that you go learn from someone who's been there, done that, further down the road than you are. And then what you do is ask yourself how you can make it work for you, how you can go apply it. I got to tell you, so I'm going to go do my event offer launch probably in June or July. I don't know. If you go to offerlaunch.com, we'll have it on there. I love that event. That event has, I'm very proud of how much money the attendees of that event have made after the event, regardless if they took me up on my offer. It's like such just foundational knowledge, very, very simply taught together for experienced or new entrepreneurs or funnel builders. It's amazing. I really like it. So we're going to go do this event, offer launch soon. And one of the biggest pet peeves I have, like, it's easily the most triggering thing someone can ask me while I'm on a stage. It's when someone goes, Steve, this is really, really powerful, but will it work for me? And when I hear that, I want to flip a desk because I already know that person's probably going to fail. They're not going to make it. That person is asking for things to be solved for them. That person is saying, great formula, Steve, but because of your lifestyle or because of how you choose to apply it or because of perceived chaos, even though I do not live in perceived chaos, or because of, oh, I'm in this situation that Steve doesn't know about and therefore this formula doesn't work for me. That pisses me off so fast that it drives me nuts. Like, will this work for me? And my honest, true answer is no. It will. It's not gonna work for you. Will this work for me? You work for it until one day it works for you, right? And that's really, it's maybe stupid and cliches. It might be the thing for me to say like that. It's true. It won't work for you until you work for it for quite a while. That means you'll probably apply the formula in a different way than I did. That means you'll probably apply that framework in a way that, okay, you don't go trade funnels for plane tickets in order to get to an event. Don't. Right? But there's going to be things that pop up in your life that you're like, oh, I need to be custom in the way that I apply this thing so that I can still get the outcome. That's not on the guru who teaches that. That's not on the person who's been there and done that to know that about you. That's on you. And I'm saying you, dear listener, you probably are not that person, okay? But that's essentially what I say to people now on stage when they ask, will it work for me? I was like, you know what? No, it's not gonna. Because if you don't have a can-do attitude that says, I'm gonna figure it out along the way, then what it means is you have an attitude that says, I need to figure it out before I get on my way, and that never works. You will never see the path clearly before you take your steps. You always learn the path as you walk. Always. This is a faith-based game. That's the part that saddens me. That's the part that makes me go, huh, you're probably not gonna make it. Or, huh, until you stop giving your power away to something else or someone else, it's not going to work for you. It's not going to. Because you're going to go learn the frameworks and formulas of people who've been there, done that before you. And of course it'll be different for you, right? The formula will be the same, but you'll apply it completely differently, most likely, than the person you're learning it from. It's that attitude. It's that part, that piece right there. That part, I saw it. I brought like 50,000 people through the One Funnel Away Challenge live. Holy smokes. That's so many people. I don't know what the actual number is, but it's around that. It's a ton of people, let alone my own challenges. My first big challenge I did on my own had 3,000 people in it. And every single time I bring a group of, or batch of people through something, the sad, absolute gut-wrenching reality that I watch every time is that there is a significant percent. It's not everybody. And if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, Steve, I know that's not me. Sweet. That's awesome. I'm talking to the other group of people who they're like, look, I see the framework. I see that it works. I see that this has the potential to be really, really powerful for me and my family and life and whatever. But because Steve doesn't know my exact situation and he's not saying my exact situation from the stage.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
In this program, therefore it's not going to work. And I'm like, I've like kind of given up a little bit. I'm like, you know what? I'm not here to convince you. I don't own your dreams. I will never care about your business more than you do. No one ever will. Right. And it's like that kind of like own it or get out kind of a thing. You know what I mean? And I understand that something that what I'm saying here is a little bit, people are like, everyone's going to win and everyone's a winner. No, they're not. Everyone's going to make it. No, they're not. Right? And it's not on anyone but themselves anyway. And my role is to be a guide, not a hero. They're their own hero. I'm not their hero. So if you have people like that in your programs or in your company, they're constantly just like, hey, fix me, save me. You're the one who's going to come redeem. You're like, what? That's the one redeemer and he already came and did his role. The rest is on you. Right? That's it. And I know there's a bit of a rant with that, but that mentality piece is, it's so hard for me to watch. And it's so hard for me to not get a little bit feisty with it. You know, a little bit like just sad. I watch it and then they spend time learning and they spend time, but what they don't have is real intent, which means they will do what they need to without always seeing the path, right? There's no real intent. What there is intent to get distracted through continuous education. There's not intent to actually apply it or go figure it out. Of course, you're going to be in a different situation. And again, I'm saying this to you. Think about for the people in your programs or courses or whatever, right? You're going to own it the whole way. Not someone you pay, even a done-for-you service. You still own it, you know? You see what I'm saying? You still are the sole driver of everything that has happened in your life. You are still the one. Right, it's the extreme ownership mentality, which I'm very excited for that Jocko's going to speak at FHL. Oh, which by the way, I'll tell you guys, so I rarely ever give out replays to my events. And part of it is just because I feel like that information should be for the people who took the sacrifice to be at the event. But that being said, I am giving the OfferMind 2019 replays, the one that had 650 people at it, to all FHL attendees. They're putting it in as a bonus, which is really, really cool. So if you get your ticket to Funnel Hacking Live, which you should, if you're in the funnel space, not going, it's kind of crazy. It's the mecca and it's where half of the amazing strategies that we all use to make a lot of money come from. So it's like you're getting right from, you know what I mean? Straight from the horse's mouth, if you will. So those replays are going out there. But anyway, for those of you guys who have audiences, those of you guys who have customers, those of you guys who you're a guide, not a hero. Right. When you establish that relationship with people, the benefit is you'll see people like stand up within themselves, but not everyone does. And that can hurt because a lot of times what will happen is they will turn on you and act like you abandon them. They're like, no, I'm not abandoning you. I'm giving you the formula. I'm telling you, here's what to go do, but I can't actually pick your feet up and move them for you, which means, of course, you're going to get a hater on the internet. You know what I mean? All the questions I get asked. Of course, you'll get a hater on the internet. It's the internet. People spread hate way more than love, even though there's an equal amount of it. You're going to get people who don't like what you're doing. You're going to get friends and probably family who might tell you that you're crazy. You probably at times will feel alone in that your thing. You're in that weird gap where nothing's worked yet. And people are asking you if this is going to be the one that works, right? That's hard. That's super. And not everyone's willing to stand up inside themselves and handle that. And what I've noticed is that when I create this relationship with people where it's like, look, here's the formula, go learn the thing, go do the thing. Half of them are like, sweet, and they go do it, and it's awesome. They figure it out along the way, and meaning the nuances and how it applies to their life. Of course, I'm there to fill the gaps in when it comes to the frameworks and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about when someone goes and they apply it to their life, and I'm like, look, I still don't have the time to do this. And I'm like, that's not my problem to solve. That's your problem to solve. You go figure out. I would work from midnight to 2 a.m. on funnels. I did that for like 2 years when I was in college. Because I didn't have any other time. No person in a course said that to me. I just found a way. You know what I'm saying? And again, preaching to the choir here, if you're a listener of this show, you're like, yeah, I get it. But for people who are in your programs and stuff, it's cool because what you start to notice is that your program or whatever you do, your anything you sell anyone ever, what starts to happen is there's a group of people go off and do it and they figure it out. And they're like, hey, I'm going to take extreme ownership and how this applies to my life and when I have time to make it happen and when I can go to, you know, and not place, you know, the onus on someone else or something else. And they have extreme ownership with it. But the group of people who want to consistently blame you for everything in their life, even though it has nothing to do with what they paid you for, you'll find that like half of them wake up and own their crap and stand up inside themselves. And you are not causing that growth.
but the new environment you place them in is. And they start to learn to trust themselves a little more than they did in the past. And yeah, I'm going to go figure this out. And I don't need someone to tell me 24/7 every single move I need to go make. I'm going to follow the framework. It's a map, but does not show the terrain. Maps are not terrains, right? The map is not the terrain. It's a great line I had a coach tell me like 2 weeks ago. The map is never the terrain. So I'm giving the map, right? You're giving the map to who you sell. But of course, the terrain's going to look a little bit different. This boulder, Steve, this boulder right here, that's not on the map. Therefore, I don't know if this map is valid. And I'm like, okay, just get out of here, cupcake. Drives me nuts. So you'll find that like half of them stand up, own their crap, and start to move forward. And that's where the personal development of entrepreneurship comes in that I really like to watch happen. This personal development piece, as you like really extreme own your, all your outcomes, right? But the other part, and this is the part that stings, is that they'll start to blame you. And this is where like, this is where my haters come from. Is to say, they're like, hey, look, Steve's thing didn't work because, you know, it didn't work. And I'm like, yeah, what about those like 10,000 people over there? What about the trackable over $100 million my students have collectively made in my programs? That's a true stat, by the way. It's way over 100 million. I don't know how to track it after a certain point. I'm proud of all that. You know, so then they're like, well, Steve, and they complain. I'm like, yep, have a good day, chuckles. Like, and I'm out. I'm like, I'm done. I'm not here to save you. I'm not going to wipe your butt. Like, go. Until you're willing to own it, there's nothing I say to you will be right. Everything I say to you, you'll find something that has an issue with it. You know what I'm saying? And so that part can sting. And so part of my point of this episode was to bring that point out and to help you just watch it and not use it as a measurement of the value of what you've made. Just because someone complains doesn't mean you're still not selling the right thing to the right people, right? And just because someone says, I don't know if this is going to work for me, just understand that there's probably a bit more context that they're not actually seeing that you can now look for and not take the wind out of your sails. Because I used to let this take the wind out of my sail and I'd be like, man, oh, this, like I totally did. A lot of people are like, where'd Steve go for like, you know, like 2 years ago or something like that? That's where, man, it was so tough. The world got really loud and hardcore on me. And I was like, I had to learn how to handle that. And I'm grateful for it, right? I had to learn how to like, had to learn how to relate with that. So my purpose in this episode is to share with you, look, it's not a bad thing that someone complains. That doesn't mean your thing is wrong. That doesn't mean what you sell is wrong. Understand that there's probably several things going on. Listen to them because there might be something that they're absolutely right about. Be humble, take the adjustments, right? Make the changes. Maybe something does suck in your fulfillment. Upgrade it, cool. But after a certain point, if someone's not making any moves and all they're doing is throwing mud, it's usually that you're asking them to grow, even though you're not explicitly asking them, and they're not wanting to, right? And it has nothing to do with what you sold them. It has everything to do with them going, oh, crap, I paid for Steve to teach me to do webinars and challenges and events, and now that I know the strategy, now I actually have to go do a webinar, a challenge, or an event. Oh, crap. Nervous, 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 freak out. And the brain starts, the croc brain goes, oh, people are going to hate me. And then they throw rocks going, this isn't going to work. And I'm like, yeah, it is. You just are not, you know, accepting the growth and you're acting like it's my fault. Right. And so just watch for that. And something that I would advise everyone to do who listens to this podcast, like I would advise that you would learn to, like when someone throws mud, you know, at you or at your company or whatever, it happens to everybody, by the way. And all the greats get it also, by the way. You're not going to get great without it, right? It's just that it's because usually you're reminding all these people of the crap they didn't do in their life, even though you're not doing that. That's just what you remind them of it, just by living and smiling and, right? But I would learn to shift to, instead of any kind of anything reactionary, shift to some form of indifference. I'm not saying apathy, but when someone starts to throw mud at you, one of the best ways I've ever found to deal with it is to shift to a point of indifference. So when someone starts to go, hey, this formula, this framework obviously works, but I don't, something in Steve's lifestyle, or I don't like this, or man, it looks like it's chaos when it's not. I just have a lot of systems. I usually stop working at 5 or 6, everybody. Like I haven't worked an evening in, I mean, a long time. I hardly ever work weekends. I just have systems, right? So anyway, when someone starts to do that, and instead of internalizing it, it's not a reflection of your course. It's not a reflection of your program. It's not a reflection of any offer you sold them. Info product or not, whatever it is, shift to a point of indifference, right? Instead of anything that's reactionary, this medium ground where you're like, oh, that's interesting that they think that. And then just move on. Bless them and move on. That's the best way to relate with it. Shake hands with the past and go forward, right? And that's the best way to do it. So anyway, another episode was like a combo of like personal development stuff mixed with like, but I just feel like, but I get asked a common question I do get asked is, how do I deal with the haters? And this is how. And this is how. This is how. This is how I make sure. First off, I take their advice if it's good. I take it from a place of thank you and improvement rather than a point of self-reflection or self-worth. And then I shift to indifference. And if the person is unwilling, I usually will invite them to stand up within themselves. And I usually do it by saying something like, look, I'm so excited for you. I'm so glad that you're stoked for this. Like, this is going to be great. Why did you get this thing in the first place? What did you want out of it? Cool. Awesome. So the program does that, right? So where do you feel like maybe the hang up is? And what I'm trying to, I don't want to tell them like, it's you, it's totally you, right? But I'm trying to get them to say that themselves. And so I've done this probably three or four times now in my career where I got on a Zoom with somebody and said, look, I cannot, will not, and it is impossible for me to care about your dream more than you. It is yours. You got to go own it. I'm giving you the path, but I can't walk it for you. You still got to walk it. Even in the most done for you of done for you situations, like it's on no one but you, right? And then energy matters, right? And so you bless them and walk away, right? If they're not willing to stand up, then you draw a barrier and you walk and keep going. Because there, for every one hater, there's 100 more people who are going to appreciate the crap out of you. Like, they're going to be like, oh, man. So anyway, it's all about looking at that stuff. Anyway, all right. That episode had like 13 turns, but I've been trying to get that out for quite a while, and I've been trying to figure out how to say it. So hopefully that's helpful. Shift to indifference. And for those of you guys who are interested, go to offerlaunch.com, and either there's a waiting list there or tickets are actually open. I'm excited. We'll definitely have be in person as well. This event. So that'll be fun. I haven't done a really big event in a long time. I've learned a lot. I mean, it's been 2 years since I've done a big event. Can you believe that? 2 years. A lot of simplicity has come into my processes, and I'm excited to share that. So how to get the most juice for the squeeze. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Thanks for being on YouTube as well. I'm putting a lot more focus on that as well. Short form soon here, and been rebuilding basically everything. So I'll keep you apprised of that as well. Bye, guys.
You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game. And if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way, go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.